Well, good morning. Thank you for being with us on this Resurrection Sunday morning. Let's stand and sing number 327 in your hymnals. Let's stand as we sing together, He Lives, number 327.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me.
Welcome. Good morning. Thank you for being with us. We have some out of town, but we have a lot of guests in town with us, a lot of family and friends. We're really glad to have you this morning. Thank you for sharing your Resurrection Sunday with us. We do have a nursery for children 2 and under, and for children 3 through 5, we have a class for them as well. No junior church this morning. I think they'll really enjoy this cantata this morning. We also will not pass a plate for a regular offering, and so there's a plate in the back for you on your way out. On Friday evening, we held our annual WANA Grand Prix, and so as you came in, you might have noticed on the left, right in front of the Welcome Center, you might have seen some of the cars there from our WANA Grand Prix, and the kids had a lot of fun with that. I'm sure the parents really enjoyed making those. But we had a really good time, and we really appreciate Jeff and Mindy Atlin and all the other volunteers that help put that on every year and work with the Awana all year long, and we really appreciate that. We also were excited to have Good News the Clown join us, and you'll just have to ask the kids about that. That was exciting. We were excited to have him. John 15:13, there's no greater love than a man that would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus demonstrated that love for us on the cross when he went willingly to die in our place. But he showed the greatest act of love, but the greatest act of power came 3 days later when he rose from the dead, and raised himself, conquering death, making a way for you and for me, not only so we could be forgiven, but so that we could live eternally with him in heaven. And that's what we anticipate. Aren't you glad that we serve a risen Savior this morning? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this church body. We thank you for the friends and family that have joined us this morning. Most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. You so love the world that you sent him to die for us, and we are so grateful for that. We are helpless without you. And so we come to you this morning grateful, and we praise you, and I pray that everything we do, what is sung, what is said, the fellowship that we have will all glorify and honor you this morning. That is our goal. That is why we're here. And I pray that this will be a sweet sacrifice to your ears. In your name we pray. Amen. We'll read a little bit from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you're not part of our church, we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And just so happens, we ended up in chapter 15 this week. And so how appropriate. 1 Corinthians 15, a couple verses here. Verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." little later on in 1 Corinthians 15, at the end of the chapter, this is how he ends the chapter. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the application for us. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, because he is risen. Let's stand as we sing. Christ the Lord is risen today. Let's stand. We'll sing the first three verses. Number 323 in your hymnals, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Oh,
The Lord Jesus Christ said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus alone could say, "Lazarus, arise," and have a dead man walk out of his tomb. Jesus alone could say, "Peace, be still," and have the winds and the waves obey his voice. But the greatest demonstration of his power was this. 3 days after Jesus died, he came back from the dead, never to die again. You see, Jesus Christ is no mere man. He is God, and he alone is Lord of all. To tell you a story that took place about this same time last year in the lives of a missionary family, the Nelsons. They were home on furlough visiting their supporting churches when their 6-year-old daughter started running a high fever. After several doses of Tylenol didn't seem to help, little Katie was rushed to the emergency room. The ER doctor was stumped, and Dr. Conrad, the head of pediatrics, was called in. Katie's 12-year-old brother, Taylor, was eager to give his diagnosis.
"I know what's wrong with her, doctor."
"I'm sorry, son. I can't talk with you right now."
But I had the same thing last month in Africa.
Wait, you've been in Africa?
Oh, yes, sir. That's where I live.
Has this little girl been in Africa?
Of course. She's my sister, and we're missionaries. And I was really sick, too. Mom and Dad said I almost died.
What did you have?
I forget what they called it. It had a really long, funny name. Mom probably remembers.
Mom did remember, but that didn't solve Katie's problem. The virus was very rare and extremely serious. There was no known cure or treatment. Over the next few days, Dr. Conrad tried several different medicines, but nothing seemed to help. Katie just grew weaker. Mr. and Mrs. Nelson took turns being with Katie, but Taylor never left Katie's side. Whenever she was awake, Taylor was there trying to cheer her up.
What are you doing, doctor?
Just checking Katie's pulse.
Does she feel okay?
Not really.
She is gonna be all right, isn't she?
She's got a ways to go yet, son.
Don't worry, she's gonna be fine, because I've been praying for her. Have you been praying for her, doctor?
Well, I'd like to, but my job keeps me very busy.
You're too busy then, because nothing's more important than prayer, especially at a time like this.
I'll have to remember that.
Please pray hard, doctor. I love her just about more than anything in this whole world, and she's just got to get better.
Katie was not improving, and Dr. Conrad started her on yet another antibiotic, hoping for some change in her condition. He was trying to find some medicine that would work before it was too late. As he slowly walked out of the room, the doctor found himself doing something he hadn't done in a long time. He silently whispered a prayer for Katie and Taylor. His prayer even surprised himself. You see, right after his wife and son left him several months before, he gave up believing in prayer. In fact, he gave up believing in just about everything. As a boy, he'd been taught John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." But that was many years ago, before he found out what life was really like. Later that afternoon, Dr. Conrad was surprised when a young visitor found the way into his office.
Come in.
Hi. Are you busy?
I'm afraid I am, son. I have a meeting that starts in 5 minutes.
Okay. I won't take long, then.
I really have to go.
Wow. This is a really nice office.
Oh, thanks.
Who's that?
That's a picture of my son, Bradley.
He kind of looks like me.
Yeah, he kind of does, doesn't he? He must be about the same age as you are.
Can I meet him?
Unfortunately not. He lives in Chicago with his mother.
Chicago? Why?
It's a long story, Taylor, and kind of hard to explain.
But who plays ball with him and takes him fishing?
Listen, son, I've really got to go, and you shouldn't be in here at all.
Okay, but just let me tell you one thing. You've got to try to make Katie better by Sunday morning.
And why is that?
Because we always have a family sunrise service on Easter. You can come too.
Taylor, I'm doing everything I can, but Katie is a very sick young lady.
I know, doctor, but Jesus is going to heal her, just like he healed me.
I really hope he does, son.
I know he's going to, because I've been praying. You know what today is, don't you, doctor?
Today? Friday?
Not just any Friday, doctor. It's Good Friday, the day Jesus died. And if he loved me enough to die on the cross, then I know he loves me enough to answer my prayer.
Was there that Jesus proved his love for you and me. He bore the pain and
Dr. Conrad had never had much time for love. He always had more important things on his mind. In fact, he was beginning to doubt that love really existed at all, with God or anyone else. Everyone he knew was in it for themselves. Yes, he did his best to help people with his medicine, but only because it furthered his career and gave him a comfortable living. Suddenly noticing the time, Dr. Conrad hurried off to his meeting with the hospital administration. For 2 hours, he discussed finances, profit margins, and other important issues. But for some reason, none of it seemed quite so important that day. When his wife had left him, she said it was because he was married to the hospital and not to her. And he began to realize she was right. He never did have enough time for her or his son. Oh, he never meant to neglect them. It just sort of happened. But now his life was cold, sterile, kind of like an operating room. When Dr. Conrad got back to his office, he found an envelope on his desk addressed to Bradley Conrad. Inside the envelope was a letter, painstakingly scrawled in the handwriting of a 12-year-old.
Dear Bradley, hi, my name is Taylor, and I'm 12 years old. How old are you? Maybe we can be friends. I live in Africa, and I like to ride bikes and elephants. Your dad is real nice. He's helping Jesus make Katie better. Maybe you can come see me and your dad tomorrow. I'd like that. He'd like it too. I can tell he misses you when he talks about you. His eyes look sad. Well, I don't know what else to say, so goodbye. I love Jesus, and I hope you love Jesus too. Taylor.
The simple letter went straight to the doctor's heart. He read again. I can tell he misses you when he talks about you. His eyes look sad. Yes, he did miss his son and his wife, too. Before he left the hospital, he stopped by to check on Katie one more time. Her condition seemed to be worsening. After giving her something for the pain, he hurried home to his computer to do some more research. He called several colleagues to see if they had any advice. Although he got some new ideas, all of the treatments were experimental at best. And time was running out. After a short and troubled night's sleep, Dr. Conrad was back in the hospital by 8 o'clock Saturday morning. Katie had been in pain all night, and her vital signs were weakening. He again increased the dosages of her medicines, which were already dangerously high. Feeling helpless, he retreated to his office. A couple minutes later, his young visitor was back.
Come in.
Hi, Doctor.
Hi, Taylor.
Katie's not doing so well, is she?
I'm afraid not, son. We're doing all we can, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, I am too. I guess the disciples must have been pretty sad on Saturday, too.
What?
That's because they didn't know what was going to happen on Sunday.
What are you talking about?
Don't you remember? Jesus was in the tomb all day Saturday, and I bet his mom was crying just like my mom is.
You've got quite an imagination, Taylor.
Imagination? Nothing. That's the Bible. Do you know what happened next?
What?
Easter morning came, and all the crying stopped.
Jesus was my master. I
Dr. Conrad found himself caring deeply about Taylor. Perhaps it was because he missed his own son. But whatever the reason, he didn't want him to get hurt. They had to be prepared for the worst.
Taylor, sometimes things happen that we don't understand.
You mean like Katie getting sick and everything?
Yes, exactly.
Well, I've been thinking about that.
And what were your thoughts?
I think Katie got sick so I could come here and tell you about Jesus.
Taylor, you can't keep living in a dream world.
You're not a Christian, are you, Doctor?
Son, when I was your age, I went to Sunday school, and I heard all the same Bible stories you have.
And you asked Jesus to come live in your heart, too?
Well, I don't remember that part.
Doctor, Jesus died on the cross to take away your sin, but he won't do it if you don't ask him.
You'd make a good preacher.
Doctor, I'm serious. Jesus loves you very much, and I love you too, and you need to get saved.
Taylor, I appreciate your concern. I really do. But I think the one we need to focus on saving right now is Katie.
But you're worse off than Katie, and you don't even know it.
Taylor pulled a crumpled up gospel tract out of his pocket, threw it on the doctor's desk, and ran out of the room in tears. The doctor's heart was strangely moved by the boy's genuine concern for him. He silently longed for a life that seemed so simple, where the solution to every problem was the same, simply trust Jesus. But things just weren't that simple in the real world. Nobody loved anybody enough to die for them, not even God. Suddenly, an urgent message over his intercom grabbed his attention. There was an emergency in room 612, Katie's room. He bolted out of his office and ran up two flights of stairs. Katie had stopped breathing. Everything was in a state of emergency. Buzzers were going off. Nurses were scurrying about. Finally, after what seemed like an eternity, Katie started breathing again. The emergency passed, but clearly her condition was deteriorating. Dr. Conrad again increased Katie's dosage of medicine. Her fever was still dangerously high, and she was beginning to show signs of some internal bleeding. After advising Katie's parents that a blood transfusion would be necessary, the doctor went to the nurse's station to make arrangements. Taylor was right behind him.
Doctor?
What is it now, Taylor?
Does Katie really need some blood?
Yes, she does.
Then I want to give her mine.
That won't be necessary, son. We have a blood bank here that is fully stocked.
But I've already promised the Lord that I'd do it. Besides, I've got really strong blood. I got over the disease, didn't I?
You know, that's right. Maybe the antibodies would help.
Dr. Conrad hurried back to talk with Taylor's parents. Getting blood from a child donor was highly unusual, but they were running out of options. When the doctor found that Taylor's blood was a perfect match with Katie's, he met with Taylor and his parents.
Taylor, your parents have given their permission, but I just want to make sure you understand the procedure.
I understand.
Any questions?
Well, is it going to hurt much?
Oh, Taylor, no. It's actually quite painless. You'll feel a little prick in your arm when the needle goes in, but then it'll be over, just like that.
Are you sure this will help Katie?
I can't promise that, Taylor, but I'm sure it'll help.
Well, okay then. I'm ready.
It was clear to Dr. Conrad that Taylor, like most children, didn't like needles at all. Taylor soberly followed the doctor to a separate room where two nurses were preparing to take blood from their young donor. Taylor's eyes nervously darted about the room, searching for Mom and Dad, who had stayed behind to watch Katie. Dr. Conrad was as gentle as he could be, but Taylor still whimpered when he felt the needle. The blood was drawn quickly, then the doctor hurried down the hall where he administered the blood to Katie, and the waiting began. Time was running out. No one was hungry for supper that Saturday evening. Outside the hospital window, clouds rolled in, signaling a change in the weather, and darkness came swiftly. As a spring storm released its fury, Mom and Dad were kneeling beside Katie's bed, pleading with God to save their little girl's life. Suddenly, a loud crack of thunder shook the room. It was an exclamation point sent directly from God. They were reminded that when Jesus walked on earth, he came to his disciples in the middle of a storm. Even as the thunder grew louder and the lights flickered, the Nelsons prayed that Jesus would once again come on the wings of the storm.
Jesus comes on the wings of the storm. For his glory shines brighter than the sun.
Dr. Conrad spent the night catnapping on the couch in his office so he could check on Katie during the night. He was concerned that she might not make it till daybreak. Taylor and Mr. and Mrs. Nelson continued to pray while the lightning flashed and the thunder roared. As morning began to dawn, the clouds started clearing. When Dr. Conrad entered the room at 7 a.m., Mom and Dad had fallen asleep in their chairs, but Taylor was lying right next to Katie with his arms around her. A single ray of sunlight was peeking through the window, illuminating the two children, almost like God was shining his spotlight on the two lead characters in his heavenly drama. When Dr. Conrad started to put his hand on Katie's forehead, Taylor's eyes popped open.
Doctor, I stayed up all night and prayed for Katie. I didn't even fall asleep one time, not even for a minute.
That's good, Taylor, but I think it's time you got some rest. How's our patient doing?
I think she's doing better. She doesn't feel near as hot anymore.
You're right, son. Her fever is coming down.
I knew she'd get better by today, because that's what I've been praying. You know what today is, don't you, Doctor?
I sure do, Taylor. It's Easter.
That's right. It's Resurrection Sunday.
I guess you could say there were several resurrections that Easter. By mid-morning, Katie was sitting up in bed and smiling as her family had their sunrise service. A little late, but never more joyful. By the way, Dr. Conrad joined them for their service also. You see, something very unusual happened that night before. On Saturday evening, after Taylor had given blood and Katie had finished the blood transfusion, Dr. Conrad realized he had misplaced Katie's medical chart. So he went back to Taylor's room looking for it. When he opened the door, he saw Taylor lying motionless on the bed with big tears coming down his cheeks. A puzzled nurse was trying to comfort the young boy, explaining they'd already taken his blood.
Taylor, what's wrong?
Is it time yet?
Time for what?
Time for it to be over.
It is over, Taylor. I've already given your blood to Katie.
But you said it would be over just like that.
What do you mean, son?
When am I gonna die?
Suddenly, Dr. Conrad realized what Taylor was thinking. Taylor thought he was giving all of his blood to save his little sister. For almost an hour, he had been lying very still, trying to be brave, just waiting to die. Overcome with emotion, Dr. Conrad gathered up Taylor in his arms and wept as he told him over and over again, "You're going to be fine. We just took a little of your blood. You're going to be fine." Late Saturday night, the doctor slowly made his way back to his office, collapsed on the couch, and closed his eyes. But his heart was in turmoil and his thoughts were racing. He couldn't get away from Taylor's willingness to sacrifice his life for someone he loved. The doctor knew that at that very moment, Taylor and his parents were praying for Katie, and probably for him too. He walked over to his desk and found the crumpled up tract that Taylor had left for him. After soaking in every word of it, he fell on his knees and cried out to God to save him. Dr. Conrad, who had been dead in his sins, was resurrected that night to walk in newness of life. He came to Jesus as a little child, confessing a lifetime of sin and self-righteousness, and Jesus saved him. Well, that was a year ago, and a lot has changed since then. Now, Dr. Conrad is back together with his wife and son. And best of all, they trusted Christ too. I guess you could say that the whole family has experienced a resurrection. Isn't it amazing what the love of Jesus can do to change a life? But in order to really believe it, it sure helps to see it. Dr. Conrad had heard the story of God's love before. He'd just never seen it lived out in anyone's life. But when he came face to face with a young man who genuinely loved the Lord and also loved others, the doctor saw more than just a 12-year-old boy. He saw Jesus.
Others turned away. My empty heart was yearning.
Once again, thank you for being with us this morning. This is just a fictional story, but the love that the choir sang about and that story portrayed is very real. And it was demonstrated when God sent his only son into the world. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but will have eternal life. And if you've never done that, if you've never placed your faith in Christ, as that story talked about, come talk to me, come talk to someone that's with you this morning, a family member or a friend, and we would love to show you from the Bible how you can do that and look forward to an eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ as well. Believer, do you show the love of Christ? I hope this was encouraging, but maybe also a little challenging to you and I this morning. May we remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain because he is risen. As we dismiss this morning, if you'd like one of the tulips that are up on this stage, you're welcome to take one. Please, one for per family. There are 36 of them, so first come, first serve. But if you'd like one of those, you're welcome to take one home for your family. Let's stand and pray together, and then we'll be dismissed on this Resurrection Sunday. Dear Lord, we thank you once again for your love that's been showed to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. I pray that we will live out this love as we exit these doors to those around us, to our family, to our friends, to those that we meet for the first time, that they'll see the love of Christ just pouring out of our lives because you've shown it to us, and we should be compelled to show that to others. I pray that you were glorified in everything that was done this morning, and that you'll be glorified in the way we live, and we look forward to the day that we will meet you face to face. In your name we pray, amen.